Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I call the Economic Development, Finance, and Policy Committee to order. I recognize that there is quorum present. Rep. Smith, have you had a chance to look at the minutes from March 29?
Thoroughly, and I move to approve them.
Any discussion of the minutes?
This will you miss the last request.
None. All right. All those in favor of adopting March 29 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are adopted. Before us, members, we have House File 3029, the DE amendment. 3028, sorry, 29. It's a Friday. I want to make sure that everybody knows that our Vice Chair Hansen brought us donuts and coffee, so feel free to grab some. It's our last day here, so she's treating us. House File 3029 is before us today, and the Chair moves that House File 3029 be referred to the way. 3028. Okay, all right. All right. I say 29 three times. Okay. All right. House File 3028 is before us. Chair moves that House File 3028 be referred to the Ways and Means. Did I get it right? Okay. We have a DE amendment. It's in the A23-02 in your pocket, A23-0102 in your pocket. I will move that A23 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All those in favor of adopting the A23-0102, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Well, thank you, everyone, for being here on a Friday morning. We're almost to the finish line. I'll go back to saying thank you to our staff as well, who have done tremendous work to get this bill in the shape that it is today. The DE before us is our final budget, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, but this is exceptionally a great bill. I'm looking forward to the conversation we will have on how great bill this is. Our staff did the walkthrough on Wednesday, and today we will take up the amendments and discuss. With that, the first amendment we have is the A11, and that is from me. The A11, I would like to move the A11 before us, and then I will explain. The A11 is before us. What the A11 does is lines 1.3. It's a combination of things that I want to change from the bill to just clean up and put it in the shape that I would like it to be. Lines 1.3 to 1.5, we get rid of the reference of Minnesota Forward Fund and make this a general appropriation to provide matching funds for the federal CHIPS and biomed programs as divided between the three categories. In lines 1.6 and 1.8, we add diversity and inclusion to the Expo 2027 appropriation. In lines 1.9, we decrease the appropriation to Emerging Developer Fund to pay for new appropriations in this amendment. In lines 1.10 and 1.14, we get rid of the subwriters for the AEDS appropriation, so the entire grant will be used for their loan fund. Lines 1.15 to 1.18, we increase the appropriation for ADC from $2 million to $4 million, divided proportionally among its subwriters. Lines 1.9 to 2.2, we add a new spending of $200,000 appropriation to NDC for a competitive grant to workplace software companies. Line 2.3 to 2.19, we add new $3 million appropriation for LISC to do pre-development grants, technical assistance, and a loan program prioritizing emerging developers. Line 2-0 removes the policy language for Minnesota Forward Fund, line 2.21 to 2.24, adds nonprofit organizations as eligible recipient under the Empowering Enterprise Program, and line 2.25 and 2.27 makes a conforming technical change. I know that's a lot of change in one amendment, but instead of doing 7 or 8 different amendments, I figure I could do one amendment to just clean up and put the bill in the shape that I would like. Any discussion on this? Nope. All those in favor of adopting the A11, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Amendment is adopted. The next amendment is, the A2. Rep. Katusa Watun, would you like to move and explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so the A2 is an appropriation to Women Venture. Women Venture is an amazing organization that works across industries, particularly with women entrepreneurs. They served over 2,500 entrepreneurs in fiscal year 2022, and they are working to engage and strengthen the access that female small business owners have, because we know that female small business owners reinvest up to 90% of their income back into their communities and local economies. So this is something that's going to support all communities across the state, and particularly in the child care space. So we know that in the child care industry, obviously communities are struggling, parents are struggling to find safe and affordable places for their children to be. I got my little guy here with me today. and so this is just really gonna help the people who are supporting our communities, who are the backbone of everybody else's workforce, do what they need to do to grow and expand, pay their staff a living wage. And I appreciate the committee support.
Discussion on the amendment? Rep. Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just reading through the amendment here, I just want to say I appreciate how the amendment was written when we go to how we're going to create these things, and then also making sure that the commissioner is going to have that report done, everything. So I think this is a great shot to try and really do it, because this is a concern not only we see in Metro Minnesota, but Greater Minnesota. So I appreciate the amendment today.
All right. Chair John.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative. I apologize, we were trying to put this in my bill, but it was an oversight, and so I'm glad that we're able to put in this bill. So happy to support it.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor of adopting the A2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Amendment, the A2 is adopted. The next one is the A3. Rep. Igo, that's your amendment, I believe?
Yep.
All right.
Pulling that one.
We're pulling that one. All right. Thank you. We have the A5 with Rep. Greener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My amendment is concerning with the marijuana launch Minnesota funding. Yesterday we had this bill in taxes, and it was stated that the marijuana bill would be self-sufficient, and there's already funding in that bill to make it self-sufficient. And since we have basically a industry that is not legal here yet, my concern is that we are putting funding towards something that we shouldn't be, and therefore I would like to see or add the A5 amendment, which excludes marijuana from the Launch Minnesota funding.
Okay, discussion on the amendment. Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you. And while I appreciate that cannabis businesses are becoming part of the economic development conversation, you know, a cost-neutral bill or a self-sustaining network is not the same as supporting business owners who have been historically harmed by the war on drugs and cannabis. And so it's really important that we do provide opportunities to as many folks as possible to begin to set ourselves on the right track and really reconcile with that. And so I would, I'm not in support of this amendment, but I am really excited for people to continue bringing cannabis businesses into the economic development conversation.
Any other discussion? Rep. Weiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do agree that this is a new industry to our state, but this is not a new industry overall. You know, cannabis is legal in several different states. There's already structure and things in place, but until we make it legal here to put funding towards it, is kind of putting the cart before the horse. And I believe that's a dangerous situation.
Any other thoughts on this? All right. All those in favor of adopting the A5 say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is the A7. Rep Kozlowski is not here. Okay. Okay. And then A9. Okay. Rep Igo, are you offering the A9?
Yes. Representative Schumacher's in here. I will be offering the A9.
Okay. Well, will you just tell us about the A9?
Yes. Yeah, so the A9, pretty basic. What we're going to be doing today is removing Article 4 from the bill after hearing some conversation, actually hearing from the PFA. Sounds like this wasn't ready for prime time, and we're just going to be asking to remove that from the bill today.
Thank you, Rep. Igo. I will accept this as a friendly amendment. However, I want to speak on the issue and reasons why my colleague Fuli and I wanted this amendment. A United States Environmental Protection Agency memorandum on the implementation of this funds provided states with flexibilities to determine our priorities, defining disadvantaged community and affordability criteria in a manner that's consistent with the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act and Clean Water Act. The EPA identified disadvantaged communities to include those with environmental justice concerns that often include low-income and communities of color. According to the EPA, disadvantaged communities exist in every state, tribe, and territory, and encompass urban, suburban, and rural areas across America. Disadvantaged communities experience or are at risk of experiencing disproportionately high exposure to pollution. After reviewing the Minnesota's definition of affordability and disadvantaged community, Chair Lee believes that our current definition, using average residential drinking water cost and a median household income of the project service area, fails to capture other hardships communities, urban, suburban, and rural, face in accessing resources. Using the median household income does not capture household in poverty, especially in communities with wide income distribution and those with income falls well below the community average, and for those whom water rates constitute a greater portion of their income. With that, we will accept the amendment, and Chair Lee and I will continue working with the agency to fix this. But I see that Rep. Schumacher joined us. You want to speak on this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sure. I just really appreciate the consideration on this and how we move forward with this. Obviously, in my time here, it's been referenced that the PFA is the one thing that really works a lot of the time. And if we're going to be making bigger changes to that, that we want to really have a thorough conversation about that. And so I just really appreciate the committee's consideration in what we do moving forward with the PFA and really taking the work that they've done into consideration and the work that they could be doing, and appreciate that we'll be taking more time to do that. So thank you.
Awesome. All right. With that, all those in favor of adopting the A9 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, amendment is adopted. We have the A12. Rep. Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this amendment seeks to modify the House File 504, the Small Business Partnership Program. It was the bill that I carried earlier this year. Under eligible businesses, you'll see that there is some, you know, particular call-outs for businesses located in Greater Minnesota Field of Technology, and then additionally, 51% owned by Black, Indigenous, people of color, women, immigrants, veterans, people with disabilities, or low income. This amendment will also add LGBTQ plus communities to that as well.
Discussion on the amendment? Rep. Katisotun.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen. I think that today is a really appropriate day to be adding this amendment, as it is the day of trans visibility. So I encourage members to vote yes.
Right. All those in favor of adopting the A12 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Amendment is adopted. Our final amendment is the A13. Rep. Vice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment relates to the prevailing wage rules, and it does two things. First of all, it clarifies that single-family affordable housing projects are not covered by prevailing wage, which was always the understanding, but we're making it explicit here. In addition, it incorporates parts of House File 1571 relating to prevailing wage requirements on economic development grants by deed. And it basically just makes it clear that deed must act as the contracting agency for purposes of collecting prevailing wage payroll data. The law already requires that these projects are covered by prevailing wage, but it also, this just makes it really clear that deed needs to collect these records for review if there is an investigation. And I would encourage members to vote yes.
All right, discussion on the A13 amendment. I see no discussion. All right. All those in favor of adopting the A13 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay. All right. Amendment is adopted. There is one amendment that we're going to come back to. Rep. Koslowski is on their way here. There's a possible public testifier, Sasla Newell. Please come to the testifying table, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed.
So I am Soslin Tiemenson. So I want to say thank you, Mr. Travis. I am so sorry about the late notice. Got a love email and got it was a good D.C. trip. The roads were a little bit dicey. So I think it's important that we take a look at, and I was able to take a deeper look into this bill. And as an advocate for veterans, as myself, that was able to go overseas to be deployed, I think it's important to take a bigger look in helping them out by offering and allocating funds. For instance, I think it was talking about a revocational, that's what the word I was looking for. If we can look for a vocational allocation for veterans to kind of help them through the program, and on top of the department, like what the Veterans Department does, but if we can have the state help them out instead of just allowing them to be like, well, here you guys go, find a job. If we can provide them at least some $1,200 a month, but it has to be certain stipulations stating, are you looking for work? If so, where you're looking at it, to kind of help them out because they have families. And it's not fair for them to be on their own and be left on the streets because they're in transition time, because when you're in transition time and when you're trying to get under the VA program, that takes a long time. And I'm coming from experience where I was let go of the housing where I lived at because I was looking for work, but at the same time, because I had a medical condition, I couldn't work and I was still in the process, so I was let go from my house and I had to move back to my parents. That is the worst thing that can happen to a veteran. But thank goodness I don't have kids. But think of the veterans that do have kids. Think of the process and think of it's an extra burden on them. And if we can allocate some vocational rehab for them by providing them extra training and providing them free education, that can help them and that can be productive for them while they're still looking for a job. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony and thank you for serving our country.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right, discussion on the bill. Rep. Wiener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since I've been on the committee, one thing that I've always asked about is reporting and the numbers following tracking. So once again, I'm sure members are probably sick of me hearing or saying the same thing, but I'll bring it up again. I think it's very important for, you know, not just to show failure, but a success as well. When we're spending taxpayers' money, we need to be responsible for it, how the money is getting spent. And that's one thing that I would really like to see a better job of, and especially with the nonprofits. We don't want our state to have, or our citizens to have questions as to, is their taxpayer money being spent responsibly, wasted, whatever. So that's really one thing that I would like to see moving ahead. And is there going to be central tracking, you know, to where the dollars are going to go? How are we going to audit? Where's the paperwork? That's one thing that I would really like to have more conversation about. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Miner. I will say this, that DEED has, according to the community members and nonprofits that I talked with, CDFIs, DEED has extensive reporting required already, but today is not the last day we're going to see this bill. It's going to conference committee, and we will have conversation about what is it that you would like to see included in this bill as far as reporting goes that we're missing, if we haven't hit it already. So I'm open to that conversation offline.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was really excited. There was one testifier, and I forget the name, I apologize, but the one group with the LGBTQ had mentioned that they were very enthusiastic about the reporting because it does show the success. And if our taxpayer dollars are going to be used wisely, then we need to copy that in the future. So that's a good method of, you know, not just failure, but success as well. So I wish I remembered the name of the group. I apologize.
E-Fund.
But,
E-Fund.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Quorum. Those two groups together.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Chair Zhang.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and our representative. I'm the chair of the Workforce Committee. And so, having sat on that committee for the last 4 years, five we count this year, DEED has a very thorough process of report. And in fact, there are some organizations that we have funded who still cannot get their funds because of the process that they have. And so this notion that somehow these funds are going out there being unaccountable is just very misleading. And so if you want to learn more about DEED's reporting process, it's available online on their website. And I encourage you to also contact the assistant commissioner and the interim commissioner, who will be more than happy to share with you about the reporting system.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Rep. Wiener, would you like to respond?
Sure. Okay. I actually have a meeting set up with DEED to go over some of these things. I think it is important, and some of the testifiers did a really good job of, you know, bringing these things up. There was the one group of nonprofits that was going to have one general reporting through DEED, and I think it would be better broke down. So that was one of my concerns. But thank you, and I already, like I said, I already have that scheduled with DEED to sit down and talk about reporting. So
thank you, Rep. Wiener. Accountability and accessibility are two things we have to keep in mind. We do want to make sure that there is accountability, but accountability should also not get in the way of accessibility. And it's DEED's job to figure that out. So I'm throwing that at them and saying that these programs that we're putting out there have to be accessible to the people, but it's also we have to be accountable to the public too. So, Rep. Igel, you have?
Yeah, if there's someone else, I'll.
Is there any other discussion? All right. Rep.
On the bill.
We're on the bill, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Jershang.
Madam Chair, I just want to thank you for listening to the community who came and testified and shared their stories. And also particularly, I appreciate the dedication that you put into crafting this bill. It addresses a lot of the challenges our communities face, especially during the pandemic and moving forward. And so I want to thank you. And also to our staff for crafting this bill that I think really addresses the challenges that we will be facing. And so thank you for that, and I'm looking forward to supporting this bill out of committee.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Any other discussion? Rep. Richardson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also just wanted to echo the thanks of the committee for the hard work that you have put in, and also for the staff as well, because oftentimes we know that we break and you all continue to do the really hard work, weekends, evenings, and so just want to lift up all that goes into getting to this point. And I also just want to thank you for level setting with us as we began this committee in terms of really understanding some of the deep disparities that we currently have within Minnesota, and bringing in Dr. Bruce Corey to really level set with us. And I appreciate that we started with talking about those disparities, and that we are ending this committee with a bill that really starts to take a look at addressing those deep disparities, particularly around access to capital and access to funding and lending, recognizing that we have an opportunity to be a much more state that works for everyone in terms of thinking about that access to capital, and that brings more prosperity to all of us. So just wanted to say thank you for the work that you have done to really begin to move the needle on something that is completely preventable. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Richardson. Anyone else? Okay. You want to do the amendment? Yeah. All right. Well, there is one more amendment we need to.
I can talk, and then we can do it if you want.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few questions asked too. So.
What number was it? Okay. All right, Rep. Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess before we kind of get into the bill at hand, a couple questions I want to ask about it as it sits now. Do we know, you know, in this committee talked a lot about the breakdown between Greater Minnesota and Metro Minnesota when we were talking about funding. Do you know the number on the bill, what that split is percentage-wise?
Rep. Igo, I don't know the exact numbers.
Okay. So that would be, and obviously we're going to be going into conference, like you said, and under the floor. I think that'd be a great number we could talk about because, you know, in this committee we did learn a lot. We talked about, you know, disparities and inequalities. And I think it was good. We started this committee talking about that. I think it would be a great way to end about it, knowing where we're investing. So that was one of the big questions I wanted to talk about. But I guess speaking to the bill as a whole, and that's, again, why I led with the Greater Minnesota versus Metro Minnesota, I want to talk about what, you know, economic development needs really are. And sometimes it's more than just funding. Right, and I think we focused a lot in this committee on funding and making sure to get access to capital, and that's incredibly important, and my side of the aisle agrees in that. But we have to look at some of the issues that we're facing, and they're different all around, right? You know, we talk about making sure we need to be able to reinvest capital, rebuild areas of Minneapolis, and fix areas in St. Paul and in the metropolitan areas, and that's great. But I look at my part of the state where we're having continual closures and restrictions that are closing economic opportunities for us. You know, it's worth noting in the last year, the state of Minnesota has lost over $1 billion, if not $2 billion in private investment. It's not due to, in those projects where, you know, Talon Metals not being able to produce and manufacture here. That's Huber deciding to pull the plug less than 2 months ago. And that's a soybean facility in Crookston deciding to leave about 2.5 months ago. This has nothing to do with us making access to capital or making things more equitable. It's because the state isn't a state we want to do business in. And we need to remember, and that's kind of the tone I wanted to leave with this when we talk about economic development. It's more than just writing a check. It's creating a business environment that works for people. And when we have energy rates that are now some of the least competitive in the state, that's a tax on business. When we're talking about paid family leave and what that's going to do to our small business, that hurts them. When we talk about, you know, how Greater Minnesota needs to invest in its tourism economy. Well, we can invest in tourism all we want, but you need to have other industries to support the people that live there year-round. Look at the average age of our resort owners. They're aging and wanting to be able to hand it down to the next generation, but they're not there. I've said it before in committees like this, you know, if we want to continue to have these vibrant Greater Minnesota communities for people to recreate in, for us to learn from each other, we need to support those economies as well. We need to invest in them, not just with dollars, but with, you know, reasonable change and regulation reform. Otherwise, they're not going to be here. And when you leave the Metro Twin Cities to go up there and enjoy, whether it be northern Minnesota, whether it be western Minnesota, I don't care, pack a lunch, because there won't be anything there for you to go be a part of. Economic development, we talked a lot today, too, or in this whole time we are here, we talked about making partnerships, whether it be through deed, whether it be through nonprofits, whether it be the state, and that's really great. You know, like I said, I'm a part of the IRRRB. That's what we do, create partnerships inside our communities. But when you look at when you create these partnerships, right now Minnesota is not a state that you want to partner with. We might be able to offer dollars. We might be able to do all these things. but we need to create an environment that's really actually going to work for these people. And right now it's not going to. And unfortunately, what we're going to see is money going out the door, and it'll be 2-3 years of permitting or waiting or regulation, or to find out that they're not going to be able to do it here, and they're going to leave. You know, I said on the House floor a little over a week and a half ago, you know, one of the biggest investors, Mr. Wonderful, right, Kevin O'Leary, said Minnesota's a state he would never, ever headquarter a business. We should have talked about that in economic development. It's really exciting and fun to talk about the big checks. It's a lot of fun, and a lot of those checks that we're giving out today in this bill are going to do a lot of good. I'm not going to deny that. But how much good are we going to do if we continue to fund things and they have to leave or they can't open? And not only will, you know, our suburban metro areas struggle, but greater Minnesota is going to struggle. We need to learn to support all of us with real reform and real change, and not just talking about solutions because that's what sounds good on the news. That means diving in and doing the work. That means realizing that a paid family leave bill, I mean, it was 2 years ago that we were talking about everything we need to do to support businesses now more than ever. Where has that message gone? Because everything that's being talked about is more regulations and more taxes. And we're hearing it from our small businesses, especially in my district in greater Minnesota, in northern Minnesota, on the range. The concern is real. So let's take, you know, let's take this bill, and there's still time to work on it, but I challenge all of us as we leave and go to our different committees today and get involved and finish this budget process, let's think that there is more to economic development than just writing the check. It's making a state that can do business. It's providing real, it's not all about the handout, members. It's about the hand up. So thank you for the time today, and I think Representative Kozlowski is here, and we can hear the next amendment. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Igo. Rep. Richardson, do you have a comment?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the opportunity, Madam Chair. And, you know, I just want to lift something up because in the height of the COVID pandemic, there were a lot of lifelines that went out to businesses because they were needed. And I also think it's important that we recognize that the people who power businesses need lifelines from time to time as well. And I also just want to make sure that we have on the record a few of the things that relate to Minnesota as it relates to business climate. And being able to look and see, and this is information that's readily available, you know, looking at Minnesota, we rank number one for Fortune 500 companies per capita. Number two for the best state for economic opportunity, number three for the best overall state in America, and number four for 5-year business rate survival. And so as was lifted up before, we need to talk about the challenges we have, and we also need to talk about the successes that we have. And looking at these numbers, it's not saying that there are things that we don't need to look at or things that we don't need to change, because we know there are really significant disparities that are within this state. But I also think that it's important that we are supporting businesses and we're also supporting our employees as well. So thank you for an opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Rep. Spice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out that I really don't think that it is like an either or when we look at supporting workers or supporting small businesses. I'm a small business owner. I have 10 employees. I think that the paid family and medical leave is going to be really important for employees, and I think it's going to be very feasible for me and for my business. And I think it's a very important thing for our state, and I think it's going to provide some stability and just be important for our workers to feel like they have that safety net and that they can continue to work for me even when they get sick or if a family member gets sick. So I just I really truly in my bones don't think that it's an either or. Like, I am a small business owner. I support business. My office is in downtown Minneapolis, and I think a lot about the things that we can do to like support businesses in that area. But I don't like the idea that it has to be intention. I feel like supporting workers is supporting small businesses. So I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
Thank you. We have Rep. Kozlowski with us. So A7 amendment is before us. Would you like to explain what the A7 is, Rep. Koslowski?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The A7 amendment is an amendment that would allocate $250,000 for Latino LEAD, pivoting a bit to the organizational capacity building under the Latino Economic Development Center, a bill that we heard here. We have heard how the LEDC, that's their particular knowledge and experience that they do is work with other organizations. And so what these dollars would be really helping Latino LEAD to continue to do what they're already good at, and strengthening the Latino specific tools for our workforce, for employees in training and leadership opportunities, as well as to deepen the Latino network across Minnesota. And so this is pivoting a bit, as I said, to the capacity building, giving them that grant.
Thank you. Discussion on the A7? I don't see any. All right, all those in favor of adopting the A7 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. The A7 is adopted. Thank you, Rep. Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have to respond to some of those comments, Representative Feist. You talked a lot about supporting workers, supporting labor. Then, if we're going to do that, I want to work with you on regulation and permitting reform for my part of the state. Because my district 2 months ago lost over 150 jobs because of that. And in the press release, when Huber decided to leave Minnesota, it was perfectly cited, leaving Minnesota due to political headwinds, in their press release to the governor, who signed this law into effect that he was going to help, that the old commissioner of deed was going to work on and help with. They all left him hanging. So now those 150 workers are out of work. This is the same place where we have a coal-fired power plant that is now going to be scheduled for being shut down, along with others around the state. We want to talk about helping and supporting workers. This is a big part of the equation. Between the Cohasset facility in Boswell, and we're talking over 300 jobs. That's not talking about the indirect jobs, the thousands of mining jobs, the thousands of logging jobs, thousands of tourism jobs, which we talk about a lot. This is a part of the equation. And I understand that you're an advocate for the paid family leave. We can all have our different opinions on it. I know when I just had a town hall in my district last Saturday, that was one of the main topics of debate, because they're really concerned. They can barely find workers as it is, and the number one thing they're worried about is taking rid of their ability to be able to bargain and work with their employees because they are their family. They don't want the state telling them how they have to do it because they do it a special way, because we take care of each other. We're Minnesotans. We all agree on that. But if we're going to support workers, it's more than just writing checks and making budget proposals that are going to put more money in people's pockets. It's about lifting people up and giving them the freedom to develop and build things and not restricting them with government bureaucracy. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to say thank you to our committee members, and thank you to the public who participated so vibrantly in our conversations this year. I think it's been really eye-opening, as Representative Richardson and Chair Zhang have said, that this is what it looks like to be the change we want to see in the world. This is what it looks like to begin to reconcile with centuries of underinvestment and exploitation of some communities way more than others. And so while there are some parts of the state who continue to struggle, because this is the state of an economy like we are in, there is struggle everywhere. I am really proud of the fact that we are acknowledging and taking time to see the folks who have never gotten a hand up before. They have not gotten handouts, they have not gotten hand ups, they have not gotten anything except for their hands slapped away. And this is a really exciting time, I think, to see how many businesses in Minnesota will begin to have the opportunity to thrive and become a part of the Minnesota business profile. It's just going to be such a more diverse landscape because of the work that you've done, Chair, and that we've done as a committee together. And I think we should be really proud of that as we kind of move forward here. And I think the last thing I want to say is that we, in addition to the stuff we're doing here in this bill, the stuff we're doing in this body this year is what makes people want to move to Minnesota. As a mom, I know that if I was thinking about moving and relocating, it would be a place where my kids were safe, it would be a place where I could have paid family medical leave and earn sick and safe time and workers' rights and the right to organize and form a union. These are all things that make people want to live in Minnesota, and I think it's what makes our state the best place to live, work, and raise a family. But we have to acknowledge that that's not the reality for a vast number of our states. So I also appreciate, like Representative Richardson said, that you started us off on from a place of honesty and sincerity to begin to take those steps, because that's what the future looks like. And I'm really happy to have gotten the chance to be your vice chair this year. So thank you.
Any other comments? Rep. Perryman.
Very brief, Madam Chair. Very brief is what we started with, and that is my concern for Greater Minnesota, and the question of funding Metro versus Greater Minnesota. And if I would love to work with that too, to make sure that, as Representative said, the state should work for everyone, Metro and outstate, and in this bill, I just really want to understand that there is Metro gets their funding, but also I'm concerned about my area and greater Minnesota. Just like Rep. Igor said, we should be all in one and thinking about that and not as a cookie cutter approach. We need to survive outstate as well. And so I may be belaboring it, but then again, I am here to serve St. Cloud and the metro or the rural area, and I just want to make sure that we get our, as we have donuts here, just desserts, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Perryman. I want to put something on the record that while we do not have the exact numbers, there is an investment in Greater Minnesota. I started us off with grounding us with the best state, one of the best states in the union, is also has some of the worst disparities. So while we really, I don't like the divide between Greater and Metro, because I, in my opinion, we're all one Minnesota. I want to make sure that the bill that we're putting forward is a bill that works for all Minnesota and touches on every level from Greater Minnesota all the way that small corner that you have to go through the Canadian border to come back to, you know, the urban core in my district that we are serving every Minnesotan. So we will let you, I'm sure we can work with the staff to figure out the exact numbers. I don't have exact numbers, but I know that we're investing in the boundary water relief. We're investing in the, you know, the initiative foundations, which serve all of your districts. We're investing, and then this is not the only bill. The workforce bill and my bill will be combined as the deed bill. And the two bills together will have significant portion of Greater Minnesota funding. We would love to get you that, but I don't want us to end with the notion that this is Metro heavily centered and not serving Greater Minnesota. Because when I started us off, I said I want a Minnesota that works for everybody, and I meant it. And I'm going to end with that note, saying that this bill serves Minnesota, you know, urban, rural, and suburban. I know you guys don't like to be called rural. Greater Minnesota. So I want to put that on the record and make sure that I say that as a chair, that I really took a look at where this funding is going. Some communities have higher need. You guys have heard from my mayor on Wednesday talking about 1,400 businesses were burned down and impacted overnight in one day, within a matter of 24 hours. So we want those 1,400 businesses to come back. We want them to be contributing to our economy. So I think our common cause here is that all of us care about this state very much, and we want to make sure that every part of the state is served. And with this bill, I will make sure that we touch on every state, every part of this state. So thank you. Okay. All right. So I want to go back to thanking our staff. Our staff is the reason why we're able to do anything. I know Anna, Shalene, and Ken Savers have worked really hard after hours, you know, weekend, trying to put this together. So I'm extremely thankful for your work. So thank you. Our partisan staff, Dave Sullivan, I know Laurie's not here today, worked really hard, and our Paige Tenzin, thank you very much, making sure that everybody has what they need in this committee so we can run this process smoothly. Thank you for the great discussion today, all of you guys. Clearly, we care about building an inclusive society that takes care of one another. Our country and state has a history of leaving people behind and denying them social safety nets. With biased lending practices, redlining, and systemic barriers, it's no surprise to anyone that we have the racial wealth gaps that we do in the state. Minnesota is a great state, and it would be even greater to make it Minnesota is a great state for everybody. And I think that's what we should all aim for, is Minnesota that serves everybody. My father, God rest his soul, always used to say, the coward leaves everyone behind, while the brave heart brings everyone along. Let's build an inclusive state that is a destination for everybody to want to live and visit. I'm happy with all your help that we have a bill that is builds an inclusive society by uplifting from the bottom and investing in our communities, urban, suburban, and greater Minnesota. I didn't say rural. thank you. With that, before we vote, there's one bit of housekeeping. Nonpartisan staff, which is nonpartisan staff is authorized to make any technical change necessary to reflect the will of the committee. I will renew my motion that House File 3028, as amended, to be re-referred to the Ways and Means. All right. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
No. All right. Well, the motion prevails, and this bill is it's on its way to Ways and Means. Rep. Kosnick is not here with us. Any final comments, Rep. Igo?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just kind of close, like you were saying, thank you to all of our staff that made this committee possible. And to you, Madam Chair, for running a very respectful committee, and to all of us in this room. I think we did have some really great conversations and learned a lot from each other. And I think that's something that we should be continuing to do as we're here for like 7 weeks. We're going to have some downtime on the floor. Let's keep talking about these things, whether it be in the retiring room or an alcove. Let's keep having conversations and learning from each other so we can do exactly that, make one Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Seeing no other business before us, the committee is adjourned.